Talk number 131. Mr. Subbarao asked, "What is the chief prana?" Maharshi, "It is that from which the ego and the prana rise. It is sometimes called kundalini. Consciousness is not born at any time. It remains eternal. But ego is born. So also the other thoughts. Associated with the absolute consciousness, they shine forth, not otherwise." Devotee, "What is moksha or liberation?" Maharshi, "Moksha is to know that you were not born. Quote, be still and know that I am God." Unquote. To be still is not to think. Know and not think is the word. Devotee, "There are said to be 6 organs of different colors in the chest, of which the heart is said to be 2 finger breadths to the right of the middle line. But the heart is also formless. Should we then imagine it to have a shape and meditate on it?" Maharshi, "No. Only the quest, 'Who am I?' is necessary. What remains all through deep sleep and waking is the same. But in waking, there is unhappiness and the effort to remove it. Asked, 'Who wakes up from sleep?' you say, 'I.' Now you are told to hold fast to this 'I.' If it is done, the eternal being will reveal itself. Investigation of I is the point, and not meditation on the heart center. There is nothing like within or without. Both mean either the same thing or nothing. Of course, there is also the practice of meditation on the heart center. It is only a practice and not investigation. Only the one who meditates on the heart can remain aware when the mind ceases to be active and remains still. Whereas those who meditate on other centers cannot be so aware, but infer that the mind was still only after it becomes active again." Talk number 132. An educated man asked, "Is there an absolute being? What is its relation to the relative existence?" Maharshi, "Are they different from each other? All the questions arise only in the mind. The mind arises with waking and subsides in deep sleep. So long as there is a mind, so long will there be such questions and doubts." Devotee, "There must be stage after stage of progress for gaining the absolute. Are there grades of reality?" Maharshi, "There are no grades of reality. There are grades of experience for the jiva and not of reality. If anything can be gained new, it could also be lost, whereas the absolute is eternal here and now." Devotee, "If so, how do I remain ignorant of it?" Maharshi, "For whom is this ignorance or veiling? Does the absolute tell you that it is veiled? It is the jiva who says that something veils the absolute. Find out for whom this ignorance is." Devotee, Why is there imperfection in perfection? That is, how did the absolute become relative? Maharshi, for whom is this relativity? For whom is this imperfection? The absolute is not imperfect and cannot ask. The insentient cannot ask the question. Between the two, something has risen up which raises these questions and which feels this doubt. Who is it? Is it the one who has now arisen? Or is it the one who is eternal? Being perfect, why do you feel yourself imperfect? Such is the teaching of all the religions. Whatever may be the experiences, the experiencer is one and the same. I is Purna, perfection. There is no diversity in sleep. That indicates perfection. Devotee, being perfect, why do I not feel it? Maharshi, nor is imperfection felt in deep sleep. The I in sleep being perfect, why does the waking I feel imperfect? Because the one who feels imperfect is a spurious offshoot, a differentiation from the infinite, a segregation from God. Devotee, I am the same in all the three states. Did this ego submerge me, or did I entangle myself into it? Maharshi, did anything come up without you? Devotee, I am always the same. Maharshi, because you see it, this appears to have come up. Did you feel this difficulty in deep sleep? What is new now? Devotee, the senses and the mind. Maharshi, who says this? Is it the sleeper? If so, he should have raised the question in deep sleep also. The sleeper has been lost hold of. Some spurious offshoot has differentiated himself and speaks now. Can anything new appear without that which is eternal and perfect? This kind of dispute is itself eternal. Do not engage in it. Turn inward and put an end to all this. There will be no finality in disputations. Devotee, show me that grace which puts an end to all this trouble. I have not come here to argue. I want only to learn. Maharshi, learn first what you are. This requires no sastras, no scholarship. This is simple experience. The state of being is now and here all along. You have lost hold of yourself and are asking others for guidance. The purpose of philosophy is to turn you inward. Quote, if you know yourself, no evil can come to you. Since you asked me, I have taught you. Unquote. The ego comes up only holding you, the self. Hold yourself, and the ego will vanish. Until then, the sage will be saying, there is. The ignorant will be asking, where? Devotee, the crux of the problem lies in, quote, know thyself, unquote. Maharshi, yes, quite so.
Talk number 133. There are two schools in Advaita, simultaneous creation and gradual creation. There is the tantric Advaita, which admits three fundamentals, world, soul, God. These three are also real, But the reality does not end with them. It extends beyond. That is the tantric Advaita. The reality is limitless. The three fundamentals do not exist apart from the absolute reality. All agree that reality is all-pervading. Thus, Ishvara pervades the jiva. Therefore, the jiva has eternal being. His knowledge is not limited. Limited knowledge is only imagined by him. In truth, his is infinite knowledge. Its limit is silence. This truth was revealed by Dakshinamurti. For those who still perceive these three fundamentals, they are said to be realities. They are concomitant with the ego. True, the images of gods are described in great detail. Such description points only to the final reality. Otherwise, why is the special significance of each detail also given? Think. The image is only a symbol. Only that which lies beyond name and form is reality. Shaiva, Siddhanta, and Vedanta have the common aim of the same truth. Otherwise, how could Sri Shankaracharya, the greatest exponent of Advaita, sing praises of gods? Obviously, he did so knowingly. The questioner earnestly explained that his faith in Shaiva, Siddhanta, Vedanta, etc. was shaken after reading Bahaic literature. "Please save me," he said. Maharshi, "Know the self which is here and now. You will be steady and not waver." Devotee, "The Bahaists read others' minds." Maharshi, "Yes, that is possible. Your thoughts were read by another. There must be one to know the mind. That is the truth always present, which is to be realized. Truth does not waver." Devotee, "Show me grace." Maharshi, "Grace always is and is not given. Why do you consider the pros and cons of Bahula or others being incarnations or otherwise? Know thyself. Regard everything as truth. Regard him also as the truth. Can he exist besides truth? Your beliefs may change, but not truth." Devotee, "Show me the truth of Siddhanta, etc." Maharshi, "Follow their instructions, and then if you have doubts, you may ask. Adherence to those instructions will take you only to Mona, silence. Differences are perceived in external objects only. If you follow their instructions, all differences will be lost. No one but the son of a king can be called a prince. So also, only that which is perfect is called perfection. One should not be content with mere discipleship, initiation, ceremony of surrender, etc. They are external phenomena. Never forget the truth underlying all phenomena." Devotee, "What is the significance of the silence of Dakshinamurti?" Maharshi, "Many are the explanations given by scholars and sages. Have it any way you please."